There is a natural compatibility between our two groups, don't you think? Your gypsy Weku and my jongleurs are both inveterate space travelers, and in a sense, we are both performers. My people put on spectacular shows, while yours perform tasks so efficiently that passengers hardly notice they're being served. Rainvar the Magnificent, from a letter to his Weku friend Enzin. When the shuttle dumped the jongleur troop on Chusik, Bronzo shouldered closer to Paul, eager to drink in all the details at once. A jongleur's life is full of such things. If we stay with Rainvar's troop, we'll see a new planet every week. We just joined the troop. They hadn't even met the other performers yet. Still, Paul was glad to see his friend enthusiastic again, because Bronzo had been so bitter for weeks.
Yes, but we're on Chusik.
Gurney Halleck had told stories and sung many songs about the planet Chusik, renowned for its fine balisets. Paul doubted Gurney had ever been here before, though he talked like an expert. The thought of the big, lumpish man made Paul miss Caladan. He was sure his parents would be greatly concerned about him, though he hoped his mother and father had sufficient faith in his resourcefulness. Maybe he could find a way to at least send a reassuring message home, so long as he did not reveal too much. Rainvar sauntered up to them, dressed in his sparkling white suit.
You two have to earn your keep. A favor for Enzin only goes so far.
I've always wanted to work with jongleurs, Bronzo said. The troop leader let out a loud snort.
You don't know the first thing about jongleurs. Rumors, embellished stories, superstitions. Ha! I'll bet you think we're sorcerers living in the hills who can use telepathy to manipulate audiences.
Exactly. And your performances are so emotionally powerful that audiences can die from the experience.
That wouldn't help us get repeat customers now, would it? Those are just tall tales and rumors, ridiculous exaggerations. We're professional showmen, acrobats, entertainers.
Rainvar leaned closer and his eyes twinkled.
The powerful skills you mention are only used by master jongleurs.
And are you a master jongleur? Paul asked.
Of course. But using my powers would be strictly against imperial law.
Paul couldn't tell if the man was serious or not.
Ages ago, House Jongleur founded an ancient school of storytelling, employing clever showmanship and performing skills. But some of us had an extra gift, mental abilities that let us share emotions. Strictly for entertainment purposes, you understand, to enhance the experience and increase the fear, romance, and excitement.
He let out a booming chuckle.
Or so the stories say. My people from the planet Jongleur used to be the best troubadours in the Imperium. We traveled from house to house, entertaining the great families. But some master jongleurs made the mistake of getting involved in intrigues with inter-house feuds, spying and the like. And ever since, we've been shunned by the Landsraad.
Rainvar's eyes glinted playfully. As a result of our disgrace, some say there are no true master jongleurs left.
But you just told us you're one of them yourself, Paul said. You believe everything I say? Good. In truth, I think the audiences come to watch because they hope I might demonstrate some supernatural powers.
And do you? Bronzo asked. Rainvar waggled his finger.
The most important rule you need to learn is that a showman never divulges his secrets.
The other troop members began to move across the Chusik field, and Rainvar shooed the boys along.
Enough storytelling.
I hope you two can do more than take up space and breathe the air. Tend the birds and lizards, haul crates, set up, tear down, clean up, run errands, and do the dirty work that no one else wants to do.
We'll do the work, sir, Paul said. We're not lazy.
Prove it. If you can't find something to do on your own, then you're either blind, helpless, or stupid. He strode down the ramp, already looking like a showman. I'm off to set up the performance venue. We start our practice shows tomorrow.
With astonishing speed, the troop members erected, fitted, powered, and furnished the stage inside the largest available theater in Sonance, the capital of Chusik. The performers, roustabouts, and stagehands, Paul had trouble telling them apart, worked together like the well-coordinated components of an Ixian clock. He and Bronzo did their best to help while not getting in the way. Reynvar the Magnificent began promoting the show by going into the city to meet with Family League representatives, taking with him a few of the dancers, who demonstrated some of their more complicated moves. Paul and Bronzo did their chores without complaint, feeding the animals, cleaning equipment, helping move things into proper positions. At every opportunity, however, they gazed restlessly out at the city, wanting to explore. When the frenetic work had died down, one of the performers came up to the boys, a lithe young male in black trousers and blouse.
I have business in Sonance, and you two are welcome to join me.
He smiled at them.
My name is Sielto, and part of my job is to observe the leading locals so that I can glean specific details for use in the show.
Bronzo and Paul did not need to consult each other before agreeing. Leaving the jongleur encampment, the trio went out to explore Sonance. They wandered down narrow streets lined with shops, where artisans worked thin strips of golden harmony wood, planing, carving, and laminating the layers into graceful mathematical arcs and perfect shapes. Their companion gave a dry explanation.
Harmony wood comes from a special stunted tree that grows on the windswept highlands. That wood is the key to the sophisticated characteristics of Chusik Balisets.
As the three proceeded from shop to shop, craftsmen glanced up at them from their workbenches. The smells of potent lacquers, colorful paints, and sawdust filled the air. As soon as the artisans judged that they were mere curiosity seekers rather than actual customers, they turned back to their work.
As the harmony wood grows, Sielto continued, the trees are infested with tiny borer beetles, which create honeycombs in the wood. No tree is the same as any other, so no two instruments sound exactly the same. That special wood gives Chusik instruments their sweet, rich sound and complexity of resonance.
Through various doorways, he indicated different coats of arms, varying colors and designs displayed outside the craftsmen shops.
Each family league grows its own strain of the trees.
They're not very innovative, though, Bronzo said, just using the old methods over and over.
He bent over to inspect a basket of loose, polished multi-picks for the Balisets. The shopkeeper watched them closely, suspiciously. Still wearing a contented smile, Sielto glanced around the workshops.
You may not notice it, but this is an industry undergoing a great deal of turmoil. The Olic League recently developed a synthetic variety of harmony wood, you see, and it greatly offended the traditionalists. Arsonists burned many of the new arbors to the ground.
He looked around warily, as if expecting a mob to appear out of the streets and alleys.
But what's so special about those trees, and why would somebody want to destroy them? Paul asked.
Only a few years ago, the Olic family was a minor player among harmony wood growers. They had fallen upon extraordinarily hard times, until the patriarch, Ombar Olic, took a daring chance that offended all the other Chusik leagues, using Tliloxu engineers to genetically modify his strains. What would have taken 10 years to grow now matured in a single year. and thanks to the Tleilaxu modifications, clonewood trees have a natural honeycombed structure, so there's no need for the time-consuming borer beetles.
Noting that the shopkeeper was paying far too much attention to them, Sieto led the boys back out into the streets.
Many objective critics say that clonewood balisettes sound even sweeter than originals, and such an idea appalls the Chusik purists. That's why other families wish to destroy the Olic League.
Despite his natural antipathy toward the Tleilaxu, who had greatly damaged Ix, Bronzo sounded surprised, even offended.
But anyone who creates more efficient production methods deserves to get more business. You're thinking like an Ixian. From your manner of speech, I can tell you are from Ix, correct?
Sieto seemed to be probing for information, but Bronzo avoided answering. He turned to Paul.
And you? I have not yet determined your homeworld, though there are a number of options.
Paul smiled calmly. We're space gypsies, not unlike Weku or jongleurs. For years, his tutors had drilled an understanding of consequences into him, explaining the complexities of commerce, government, alliances, and trade, all the things a duke would need to know. If Olic Clonewood sounds the same and grows faster, then their family's profits are increased at the expense of other leagues. No wonder the rival families hate them so and burned their arbors. Progress won't be stopped by a few instances of petty arson. Bronzo's nostrils flared. If the artificial clone wood is better, faster, and cheaper to produce, why don't the other families just adopt it in their own arbors so they can be competitive again?
Maybe they should, but they will not. They are far too proud.